When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with LaDonna Reed, the Senior Vice President and Director of Community Accountability for Associated Bank. LaDonna, welcome.
Thank you.
Before we get underway, I want to have you give us a thumbnail of what you do at Associated Bank.
So I've kind of coined my elevator speech now to say that I advocate for the bank and the community, and I advocate for the community and the bank. That's really what we do every day, on my team. But I and my team oversee the bank's community accountability commitment. So the bank is committed to lend and invest $3.37 billion in low to moderate income communities and communities of color across our three-state footprint of Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. And that includes investments and lending toward residential loans to low and moderate income consumers and communities of color, small business lending to individuals and companies with revenues under $1 million, as well as minority-owned businesses, and then other community development lending and investment opportunities that lead to things like affordable housing. So we oversee that commitment.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, a couple of examples of that not necessarily are Associated Bank projects, but there are good examples of this. And one of them is the Chicago Housing Authority recently approved a new funding for affordable housing in the Logan Square neighborhood. And this is off Cortland Avenue. I think it's at the western end of the 606 trail. Give us a sense of like this project. Again, we know it's not an Associated Bank project, but how this is a good example of that community lending.
No, absolutely. So what I would say is, one, we all know, right, that stable housing is very important in a community, right? It leads to better social determinants of health, education for children, and those types of things. So when you find that there are both nonprofit and public collaborations to keep residents in the communities where they live and work, right, it leads to more vibrant and better economic outcomes in those communities. So here you've got a project where the CHA is creating stable housing for residents who need rental assistance, right? And it's so important in this particular development. They've created not just one-bedroom homes for individuals, but family units, right? So that individuals who are raising children can have stable housing, make sure that from an educational perspective, they feel that sense of community and continuity, right? Which is so important to how families both can manage their budget, can afford housing, can then make sure that they have discretionary income to do the things that are important around making better choices around food, healthcare, being civically engaged in their community. So these types of rental developments are very important across our city as we think about folks who aren't quite ready for home ownership yet, but want the same positive, stable outcomes that you get from having housing that is affordable.
When a bank like Associated looks to approve funding for something like this, what are the qualifications? What kinds of things do you specifically look for and also require out of a project like this?
So we tend to work with developers that we know, but I think what's most important, right, when you think about developments like this, and we know that, you know, construction costs are rising, oftentimes we're looking at the feasibility of the actual project, and you will find that there needs to be different levers and resources that need to be pulled to make a project like this successful. So lenders like Associated work with partners like the Federal Home Loan Bank of Chicago and their programs that help provide equity investments into these developments so that, you know, from a numbers perspective, they work. Because if you're looking to build something really true quality housing, right, so oftentimes when you're looking at the cost of building products, contractors' costs, things like that, it cannot make the numbers work. Right. Mm-hmm. But having opportunities through the city and their Southwest investment programs, the incentives that they offer to developers, things like those programs from the Federal Home Loan Bank that provide equity investments into these projects really make those types of developments work. And that's important.
And so when we sometimes hear of critics of communities like Chicago investing in stuff like this, without those investments, these kinds of projects wouldn't happen, would they?
No, absolutely. And when you think about how vibrant a city Chicago is, right, and you're trying to attract talent, it's critical to have a variety of housing opportunities that are affordable, whether it's homeownership or rental, right, to maintain folks who want to work and live here. And so you think about that cost of attracting talent, retaining talent, training talent. If you can't create some stability so that people want to come to the city, want to stay in the city, right, that's important. And then when people live in a community and they have an anticipation of being able to stay there, right, then what do? They start to really boost the economy around mm-hmm. where they live. Small business is the backbone of a lot of our communities. And when you know that you're there, right, you're going to use that local dry cleaners. You're going to go to that local coffee shop. You're going to start to support those small businesses that are also in those communities. So it just really adds a complete economic picture to what's going on.
It's more than an investment in just a housing project. It's an investment in a neighborhood.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit about the issue of affordable housing these days with inflation. I'm guessing that it's harder to be in that affordable housing category, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And I think it's almost like the pandemic created a perfect storm, right? Mm-hmm. There was a person who coined a phrase during the pandemic, which was, I liked my house when I stayed here, not so much when I lived here. And you think about it, right? You were used to getting up, your kids going to school, you went to work. Your house was kind of empty, right, for a big part of that day. And then you kind of came together and it was the family hub. And then during the pandemic, you were there with, you know, potentially a spouse or a partner with your children 24/7. So then it became this period where you had what I would call the perfect storm. People were looking for new housing during a period when we had historically low interest rates. Like, I looked at it today. At this same time last year, interest rates were just below 3%, and today they're just above 5%. Yeah. And when you think about your average loan around 240, 250, right, you're talking about almost a difference of $200 to $300 a month on what your mortgage payment would have been had you gotten that loan last year versus now. And that can be a significant difference, right, for a family. So affordability became a challenge. You know, it was great if you were selling your home, but then if you needed to buy a new home or you were looking for one, right, it was a very interesting market out there for folks. The competition, people bidding above listing price, and that created a challenge for people who were looking to buy, specifically first-time home buyers, right, who may not have even been that educated around the process.
Has the inflation situation also worsened the building of these projects? Is it jeopardizing some of these affordable housing projects?
Well, absolutely. You think about the cost just for materials for new construction and what that lends to the purchase price of homes. So that's why these types of projects, right, we talked about the one with the CHA. There are other projects that are addressing home ownership. If we're not using all of our tools and levers to find ways to inject resources into these projects so that we can maintain affordable rates around the city, it's going to be a challenge, right? It's just going to continue to be a challenge.
One of the possible solutions is the way of building some of these developments. There's a East Garfield Park project where they're using modular homes, sort of a modular row house, if you could imagine that. It's the Harrison Row townhomes. Talk to us about some of the unique ideas like this that are working to solve the affordable housing problems.
No, right. So I think what's really great about that project is, one, right, they're looking at a way to find an affordable alternative to new construction, right? Having these homes built in a warehouse in kind of like blocks and then moving them and putting them together, that can help with some of the construction costs. But then I love that through the Chicago Housing Trust, right, they're looking at, once these homes are built, and yes, we're finding a way to subsidize the purchase price of these homes, but how do we combat both affordability and gentrification? How do we keep these homes affordable? So what's great, I think, about the project there is that these homes are coming with a 30-year affordable contingency on the property. So therefore, when you buy it, you're getting it subsidized. You're getting your purchase price subsidized. But should you not stay in it for the 30 years, you choose to sell, et cetera, there are provisions in place to make sure that you have to sell it to another affordable borrower. And that's important, right? Because when you think about a lot of sometimes the incentives and benefits that are provided to first-time homebuyers or others from affordable perspective, they're tied to that initial transaction. Mm-hmm. The borrower gets a down payment assistance or something, and it helps that initial transaction. But how do we pass or make a legacy of that affordability available going forward? So by tying this incentive to the property itself is very important. So through that program, right, if a person chooses to sell, there are some caps and some provisions to ensure that it's going to another affordable borrower.
And not only just an affordable borrower, but somebody who already lives in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. Right? By focusing on how we support the folks that are already there, right, and making it affordable for the folks at those income levels. Because I think it's really critical that we look at this broadly, right? Chicago is a very rich, diverse city culturally and ethnically. But now how do we make some of these communities that have suffered disinvestment economically diverse? And that's important, right? So because you want these communities to have the amenities like the stores to shop, the grocery stores, eliminating food deserts, health deserts, bringing health care to these communities, schools, et cetera. And the way to do that is to attack economic diversity without causing displacement. And that's what's important.
Here's a $1 million question for you. How do we keep these kinds of investments going?
I wish I had the $1 million answer. But what I would say is, right, the city right now, through various programs, the Department of Housing, whether it is Invest Southwest, whether it's what we're doing with the Chicago Housing Trust, in terms of offering these programs either through new construction, right, by giving developers incentives to say, hey, if we're going to provide you incentives to do these new construction developments or these affordable rental developments, that you've got to make a certain percentage of these units affordable, et cetera. We keep that going. And what I'm hoping is that we'll see, right, that as these developments keep affordable housing available across the city, right, we start to attract the talent. But more importantly, we keep the talent here in the city. You've got, I think Google, right, just announced that it's buying the Thompson Center. Mm-hmm. That's new jobs that's coming to the city. But that bleeds out, right? They're going to hire techies, but they're going to need other small businesses that help run the building, help maintain the building. There's all this economic domino effect that we'll see when the city starts to attract new companies and new opportunities. And so you're going to need that housing, right? Because people are going to want to live near where they work. They want to keep their transportation costs down. They want to spend time with their families. They don't want to necessarily have an hour, hour and a half commute. So by working very diligently to make sure that we're providing those opportunities for folks here in the city, I think is going to be important.
There's long been a criticism that we've always focused on the city center and these other specific areas for investment. You mentioned the disinvestment that's happened in some of the neighborhoods. There has been a switch now where I know the Lightfoot administration wants to focus on the neighborhoods. I'm hearing you say that it's working and it's a good idea.
I think we've seen some very positive outcomes on the focus of those different communities. I think it's about 10 different communities, and I apologize if I got that wrong. But and I like that, right, as folks are bringing these ideas around economic development and housing development into these communities, they're getting community feedback as well, right? What's important is what they're developing needed, that grocery store, those types of housing units. Do we need one bedrooms or is this a family community and we need 2 and 3 bedrooms? So getting that feedback is key because you want to build what's necessary to continue to make sure that community is vibrant.
LaDonna, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
No, absolutely. So I can be reached at ladonna.reed@associatedbank.com. You can also reach me via phone at 312-552-2416.
Great conversations. Thanks for coming in this morning.
No, thank you.